And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. My co-host today is Dave Allen as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Yes, happy hump day, Melody.
Yes, and how are we today?
Doing great, thanks.
So, it sounds great, Dave. And we have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon with Apothecary Herbs. But first, let's go ahead and get to the market report where we have gold today. Down $1.90 at $1,283.80. Silver was up 3 pennies today at $15.43. Platinum was up 3 at $798. And palladium was also up 3 at $1,357. The USDX today was down 0.13 at 96.11. Crude oil was down 40 at 52.61. And the paper markets today, let's go to that report. And we have the Dow up 171 points, 24,576. The NASDAQ was up 5 at 7,025. And the S&P was also up 5 at 2,638. 10-year yield higher, 2.76%. European Asian markets fairly quiet. And I guess everybody's just holding their breath to see if government reopens and what happens until it does. So kind of interesting, you know, getting a little worn out with it. But we have Wendy Wilson to distract us for the first segment of the program to distract us in a good way as she teaches us how to become healthy, stay healthy. And we appreciate her so much. Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody. Thanks for the intro. And hello, Dave.
Hi there.
I thought we'd talk about some weird science. Aha.
Weird science.
You know, kind of unusual reports in the scientific research area. There's been some reports on studies that scientists have conducted, and you wonder why. Hundreds of thousands of dollars and man hours went into some of these studies, and you wonder how they're going to, you know, help anybody's health. So I thought we'd go over a few of them. Actually, November 2018, Live Science did a report on several of the strangest medical studies in scientific history. Now, granted, one of them was done in the early 1900s, but it still gives you a glimpse at, you know, the medical experts of their day using time and resources on this kind of research. So we'll do that one first. This was in Romania in the 1900s. Scientists wanted to know what it was like to be hanged. And so they hanged themselves. Yeah, they hanged themselves more than once, relying on their assistants to save them from the brink of death.
Oh, my.
I know.
That's trust.
I know. There's like 8 of these. I picked 8. You know, some of them have somewhat value, and the rest of them you go, I don't think so. In 2006, science wanted to see which was worse, drunk driving or driving while using a phone. So the Journal of Human Factors published the findings in which 40 people were made drunk on 4 separate occasions and asked to pilot what was a driving simulator. And they tested drivers when they were under the influence, when they were just using their phones, and when they were completely sober. And the experiment showed that the volunteers, when they used their cell phones while driving, it produced more accidents than the drunk driver did.
I would go with that.
Yeah. This was a report in 2007. Scientists in Brazil determined that some people with sensitivities to certain foods can have reactions if they have sexual intercourse with someone who ate the offending food 4 hours prior. It appears the body fluids can carry some of the food proteins that you're sensitive to, and that study appeared in PubMed. It was a girl who had a nut allergy, and her husband had nuts 4 hours prior, and they had intercourse, and then she had anaphylactic shock.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. In 2015, the evolution of the fist, a man's fist on his hand, was under debate by scientists. They were comparing a man's hand to that of an ape's hand. Now, the human hand, it has a shorter palm and fingers that, and they're shorter fingers, but we have a longer thumb, okay? And so manual dexterity changes depending on the length of the thumb. So they wanted to conduct an experiment, and this is kind of a morbid type of experiment, and it got published in the Journal of Experimental Biology. They collected a bunch of human cadaver forearms. They mounted them on wooden boards. They suspended them from a pendulum in order for it to strike a padded surface with a bunch of force. And some of the hands had an open palm and some had a fist. And what they concluded is the fist is able to deliver more force in a blow by 55%. And they also noted that a tight fist reduces the impact to the metacarpal bones, the bones that connect your fingers to your palm area.
Mm-hmm.
But they were not able to, Melody and Dave, they were not able to agree that if the human fist evolved from an ape for fighting purposes, why didn't the human face evolve into a more protective structure? Because that's usually the target of a fist, isn't it? Is your face.
Not the correct.
So they couldn't agree on that. All right, and in August 2018.
Were these all subsidized by government?
Well, these were funded, where they got, grants. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In August 2018, science studied blood therapy, where they had patients drink their own blood to monitor inflammatory bowel disease. Drinking 3 to 10 ounces of their own blood is kind of pretty disgusting. However, the study had 16 patients that did this for about a month. And no surprise, the participants developed flu-like symptoms and acute gastroenteritis and bacterial pharyngitis of the throat. Mm. The scientists said they wanted to get disease markers. That's why they had them do that. And that ended up in the Journal of European Gastroenterology. I'm like amazed people would even, I don't know, they must have paid them pretty well to do that. I wouldn't be drinking.
Oh, I can't imagine.
That is disgusting. I mean, even the Bible says don't even drink animal blood, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a disease called Khufu. Have you heard about this? And you know who gets this disease? It's restricted to cannibals. They get this disease called Khufu. And it's a neurological disease from eating human flesh.
They say I've talked about this a couple times on the radio, but they say there's a restaurant in LA too. That's what they serve human.
Well, cannibals will tell you human flesh tastes similar to pork.
Yeah.
And
chicken.
Nope. The Khufu disease is what happens is it takes 40 years to develop in the cannibal, and they get this shaken body syndrome where they shake all over, okay? And just think about cows that eat meat. They're not supposed to eat meat, and they get prion disease in the brain, and they start shaking and collapse, right?
The mad cow disease, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Kind of similar, yeah. Prions, you know. Well, let's see what else we have in these wonderful little studies that science embarked on. In 1994, researchers wanted to study the perplexities of wearing wet underwear in cold weather. After measuring body temperature, skin temperature, rectal temperature, and body weight, they discovered, hey, wearing wet underwear in cold weather is uncomfortable.
Indeed.
And those that wore wet clothes shivered more than those that wore dry underwear.
Wow, fascinating.
Man, I could have told them that. You could have told them that, Melly. They also determined the type of fabric really didn't matter.
Wait, can I wear wet underwear outside winter time?
I know. Oh, well, okay. We're getting real scientific here. And you know what they said? The type of the fabric didn't matter, just that it was wet and cold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that got published, believe it or not, in the August 1994 Journal of Ergonomics. Okay?
Mm.
All right. Well, to PubMed, they also, they published, and also PeerJ published a study in April 2014. Where is the worst place on the human body to suffer a bee sting? Anybody want to guess?
Eyeball?
Oh, that's a good one, Dave. I never thought of the eyeball, but man, that's got to hurt. What about you, Melanie?
No guess.
Or the boob.
Okay, well, the enterology professor, Michael Smith, he allowed himself to be stung repeatedly by the European honeybee from head to toe over 38-day periods, and he endured stings on 25 different locations of his body, including face, armpit, fingers, back, abdomen, and his legs. And Professor Smith determined that there are three most painful places to be stung, and those are the nostrils, the upper lip, and the penis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. I was stung on the, I don't know if I was stung on the upper lip or the lower lip, but it does hurt.
Yep. Now, the least painful areas, according to the professor, is the skull, the tip of the middle toe, and your upper arm. He says those are pretty easy. All right, my last study. Don't shout for joy or anything. The International Weekly Journal of Science did a report in May 2007 on a study done by scientists in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And here, now hold on to your hat here. They wanted to see if they could give hamsters Viagra to cure their jet lag. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you gotta ask yourself, well, hello, why would hamsters have jet lag? And they wouldn't be telling you they have jet lag, right? So what's up with that? Well, one would speculate that the drug company that makes Viagra was looking to had another use for the drug and rename and remarket the drug.
Aha. Uh-huh. Poor little hamster.
But this is pretty tame compared to what's going on offshore on a lot of floating laboratories. It's pretty scary. Now, because we have a lack of jurisdictional oversight in some areas, it's real with regard to science. Little to no reprimands for scientists that step out of line or outside the lines of ethics. And one example is a recent report from China where a scientist is being investigated by the Chinese government. His name was He Jiaku, and he acted on his own regard and he did something that was forbidden in China. He genetically modified with the CRISPR device the DNA of fertilized embryos and implanted them in women. One baby has been born. The other one is yet to be born. So it was girls. Both are females. And what he did is he modified the DNA of these babies to be HIV resistant, so they could not get HIV. Now I ask you, what do you suppose the next step would have been for those kids? Science is going to deliberately try to infect them with HIV to see if the genetically modification worked.
Wow.
All right.
How scary.
So anyway, so this is what they're doing. This is, they're willing to experiment, with life like that, like it were, a lab animal. So there's really no specific laws which can incur a lot of criminal charges should science do anything really to jeopardize human life. So without a code of conduct with enforceable penalties, science is pretty free to disregard all the restrictions, which is why offshore labs exist in the first place when countries have certain types of research that they are banning. A lot of it has to do with, cloning and genetic modification. A lot of countries haven't come on board with that yet. So,
do you know how many of these offshore labs there are? Is there any indication?
We don't have a specific number, but I would say there would be more than three.
Wow.
Yeah. So you have to ask yourself why, don't these guys have any kind of ethical,
No, they don't.
Conscience? Nope. Well, I think Dr. Phil McGraw said it best when he described ill-behaving men. He said, they do it because they can.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, just wrap your brain around that, because, you know, women, you know, have a hard time understanding why people, anybody, would do something so, you know, insane and dangerous and without any moral consciousness. And it's because they want to, you know, sort of like, where's the mountain? Let me climb it because it's there, you know.
Well, I mean, at one point in time, yes, but now I think there's a lot of women out there that would probably go along with the program. I mean, this is the culture that we're becoming, the society that we're becoming, and if it's always for the better good, look how easy people will embrace. They'll just turn their head and say it's for a better cause, for the future, of mankind, and blah blah.
Well, the thing about medicine is they only give you half the facts, you know, and half the truth is still a whole lie. And so a lot of times you'll take treatments, especially in the area of drug therapies, and it may reduce the symptoms of your major complaint, but it gives you another problem. Usually the side effects, that's what we call side effects, but that term has become so benign now that people just expect it and it's okay. Well, the side effects, if you look at some of them, even the ones that are supposed to be somewhat rare, if you came down with it, it wouldn't be okay. You know, it just wouldn't be okay. So I think gone are the days where we just, you know, blindly accept. I think we have to do our due diligence and check out everything, because, frankly, you can't really count on honest medical research anymore.
No, and you know what? Particularly the older generation, we lived in a, well, I'm not going to say we, but I'm thinking of ones older than myself, you know, the ones that are in their 70s and 80s and early 90s, and they lived through a time where their doctor, they had a relationship with their doctor.
And you don't have that now.
And you don't have that now. And the doctor, you know, wanted to help, and I don't, it has changed.
Well, think about it. Insurance underwriters understand all too well the risks per medical profession, the drug classes, the surgical procedures. So millions of death certificates often confirm the statistical risk that gets associated with a lot of our medical treatments. And there's a real solid reason why scripture says, hey, medicinal herbs are beneficial to your health. Herbs are these compact nutritional components, and prescription drugs are synthetic toxins, a world of difference. So no-brainer for me. I'm going to put my trust in the herbs rather than the scientific research. You know, if I can, that's what I'm going to do. Of course, you know, you never know when you're going to be in a trauma accident and you look like Humpty Dumpty and you need a surgeon, right?
Yes. Wendy, contact.
Oh, 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. See you guys later.
Enjoy the segment, Wendy, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with some financial news.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We do have a special today. We have a quarter ounce American Gold Eagle. That's a quarter ounce American Gold Eagle. In fact, it is a 2019. We got some in. And a $25 face value of 90% silver. That includes your shipping costs, $700. So it's a great little package. $25 face value of 90% silver. A quarter ounce American Gold Eagle. 2019 is the date on that. Includes your shipping in this package. $700. I was going to do the $699, but you know what? That's tacky. So I just did $700, ladies and gentlemen. But if you want to do $699, we'll spare the dollar. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And financial news programs in the morning, they're all at Davos at the World Economic Forum. Talking about their concerns of 70% on their $10 million from the new Democrats in office and so forth. And I know you wanted to talk about the Brazilian president, Jair Bolsonaro, Dave. And so there was a lot of things that they're looking to talk about, but most of them were in the consensus that global GDP will be falling this year, that then the U.S. Recession is just around the corner.
That is true.
Would you like to tell us a little bit more than just about the Brazilian president, Bolsonaro? Is that the pronounced? Yeah.
Herr Bolsonaro. Yeah, I mean, there's not much to say. I mean, gave what was considered yesterday the highest profile political speech, came from the newly elected Brazilian president. He talked about lowering taxes, fighting corruptions, and the benefits of trade. You know, get together for the global elite. This World Economic Forum celebrates open markets and free trade. Mm-hmm. Yet the sense is those trends continue to recede into a tide of populist politics and working class resentment on the concentration of wealth. And that's epitomized certainly by the jet-setting attendees at this swanky, snowy forum. You know, another theme of discussion among the Davos set was the growing discomfort with corporate influence over society, especially big technology firms. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella acknowledged the tension business faces to spread wealth equitably. He said markets work, but there are limits. Yeah, understatement of the day. You know, this year, billionaire hedge fund leader Ray Dalio emphasized a less optimistic outlook than he did last year. Politics, he said, are connected to economic issues in ways similar to the late 1930s. He said, the next downturn in the economy is the one that worries me the most. Melody.
This morning, Dave, I heard an interview with the CEO of Cisco, and they were talking to him about how the tax reform had helped his company and what he was doing with the repatriation of funds. And, you know, he was all bristly and, you know, he thought it was did well last year, not so much this year. And he says that what he stated that they continue to borrow with low rates And he proudly declared that the three reforms his company did with the ability to move that money, money that wasn't taxed or taxed at a very low rate. He says, we did it. M&As, mergers and acquisitions, stock buybacks, increase of dividends. So, Dave, when I was on a program this morning, I said, how does that create jobs?
Doesn't.
It doesn't create jobs. And all they know is, and one day we talked about what's the amount of corporate debt, Dave? Over $1 trillion or more?
Oh, yeah, substantially more.
Yeah, I don't have that number right off the top. But we're talking about there comes a time when debt reaches a certain point that the debt's not going to be able to be rolled over. And then what? All of these corporate leaders, all these corporate CEOs know that debt is not going to be repaid. They know that. It's only the people, the taxpayer, because they're betting. They saw the government bail out corporations back in 2008, 9, and 10. So I'm sure they're sitting there pretty confident and cocky that they're going to get bailed out because they've been able to make it look like this was a great economy and the numbers fit and so forth. And it's not new. And there will be no payback on that debt. The only people that will be paying back that debt are the taxpayers. And it's just, we're talking about, were you able to find that number, Dave, or no, for the corporate debt? No? Okay.
Not yet. Having some technical difficulties here.
All righty. Then we have the worldwide government debt. We continue to see these governments run up huge debt levels with emerging countries that are helping to push the total IOU, the global total IOU, to 80% of gross domestic product. The worldwide tab through 2018 is now up to $66 trillion as measured in U.S. currency terms, about double where it was in 2007. And then after a decade in which the global central banks kept interest rates allow and made running up debt far less expensive, monetary policy is in the normalization period. The Fed, for example, has raised rates. We know this from 8 times since late 2015. And many of the counterparts around the world, they're ending also, or they're at least beginning to end. So the extreme easing conditions coming from the financial crisis only puts additional stress on the system. Debt in developed countries has remained fairly steady around $50 trillion since 2012, though that's not true of the U.S. Total public debt for the American government has jumped from $15.2 trillion to $21 trillion, or 44% during that period.
Yeah, Fitch also noted that total U.S. debt has now jumped to 10 times the size of France, Germany, Italy, and the UK combined. While the U.S. debt stands out among larger economies, well, it certainly has plenty of company in the developing world. You know, Fitch said emerging market economy debt surged 50% since 2012 from $10 to $15 trillion. You know, leaders during that time, quote, leaders, proportionately were the Middle East and North Africa area with a 104% increase, and the sub-Saharan South Africa at 75%. You know, those two regions, though, have less than $1 trillion each in debt. Now, 11 sovereign nations that are rated AAA carry 40% of the debt load. Lower-rated B-rated countries accounted for about 3% of global government debt. Credit quality in general has deteriorated notably over the years, with emerging market debt, excluding China, carrying an average rating of slightly below BB+. which is the lowest since 25 and denotes a speculative outlook, just a tad above junk bond status, Melody.
Yep. Well, you know, yesterday we talked a little bit about the unusually large drop in home sales and real estate agents are baffled. Well, after 2 weeks of sizable gains, we see mortgage applications volume fell. And that was in December that we talked about the large drop in home sales. And so now we have mortgage applications for the 2 weeks. The volume fell 2.7% compared with the previous week. And this is according to Mortgage Bankers Association. Refinances, which are highly sensitive to weekly interest rate moves, pulled the volume lower. Applications to refinance a home loan fell 5% for the week and were 7% lower than a year ago. Borrowers saw a sharp drop in interest rates in December. We talked about that. And so, you know, they did jump in to take a little bit of advantage to the start of the year. But last week, we did see rates rise slightly. And the average contract interest rate for 30-year fixed rates is 4.75%.
Yeah, but rates are now 11 basis points lower than the previous month, but still 39 basis points higher than a year ago. That's roughly 0.4%. The refinance share of mortgage activity decreased to 44.5% of total applications from about 47% the previous week. And mortgage apps to purchase a home fell 2% for the week, but were 13% higher than a year ago. Purchase volume, as we've said many a time, is less sensitive to weekly rate moves, and buyers today continue to be frustrated by high home prices, which Melody talked about at the top of this this topic. Interest rates did take a breather to start this week as investors saw renewed concern about the direction of trade talks between the U.S. and China. Same time, stock markets were selling off. Melody.
Well, you know, there's Robert Shiller. He's a professor of economics at Yale University. And he said he wasn't confident of his ability to predict, but he thinks there's a risk of a bear market in 2019. He says he categorizes risks in terms of narratives, and this bear market narrative has taken a strong hold. He says there is a feeling that the stock market might be due for some deflating now because it's been a long time, and we've certainly have seen hints of it, but we haven't seen the real deflation yet. And he was observing this at Davos, and it's going to be a rough year. And we don't know, Dave, how long the government's going to be closed. We talked about this, you and I, about Cohen. He postponed his testimony for the, I think it was February 7th. That's been postponed. Whether he's going to do it at all or not, or not remains to be seen. And we have the debt ceiling to contend with in March, I believe, isn't it? In March,
it is.
I believe. Yeah.
Indeed it is.
So...
yes, narratives indeed, Dr. Shiller.
Yes.
You know, it's lost my train of thought, Melody. But, you know, he talked about having another downturn between September and Christmas Eve. You know, and then in the S&P, it went down from its highest level to a trough that was rough, just shy of 20% lower at the end of last year. You know, so it's already it already started the year approaching a bear market, even though there's been an upward movement the last week. There continues to be all of these calls for a downturn into a recession sometime this year.
Well, you know, I've heard this before, I think, out of Jack Ma and Dave. He, and of course, he's the Chinese billionaire. He's warning that technology could lead to a third world war. And he's the founder of Alibaba, It's similar to Amazon. He had said today at the Davos that history shows technological innovation is a primary factor behind global conflicts. And you might even see this, Dave, because right now the trade agreements with China is all based on this intellectual information that we pulled out of talks because China's not beginning to give on that. So this is what Jack Ma is saying, that, hey, it creates world wars technology. He said the first world war was because of the first technology revolution. And, of course, if you listen to James Corbett, he has a little bit different idea. But the second technology revolution caused the second world war. This is the third technology revolution. We're coming.
Yeah.
And it's so I'm not quite sure what that means, we're coming. he made other dire warnings that back in 2017, he made a similar comment. Maybe that's what I was remembering, saying that the developments in machine learning and artificial intelligence, again, would be a result in World War III. So Elon Musk, he's also said the same thing, that competition among governments to be leaders in the field of AI was likely to cause World War III.
Yeah, I mean, despite his renewed warning, Alibaba's executive chair, Ma, said he was still a believer in technology's potential to do good.
Yeah, why not? Who cares? Who cares if it creates World War III? We nuke ourselves out of
almost,
the planet.
Yeah, as an afterthought, it seems. I mean, he says data could help experts use fossil fuels more efficiently and smartly. You know, he believes that technology is great for humanity, but he added that being evil, that not being evil was not enough. He says, I'm not a technology person, but I'm a believer that technology is great for human beings. And as a technical company, don't be evil is not enough, referring to Google's slogan. You know, you should do good things for the world, do good things for the future, and believe in young people. That's Jack Ma, ladies and gentlemen, who says he's not a technology person. But
they're all nuts.
Sure enough, his company is.
Yeah, really. Yeah, they're all nuts.
Watch out. Jeez.
In another case, the State Department was forced to postpone a conference on border security due to, again, the shutdown. And there was a letter addressed to 55 U.S. embassies and missions around the world. Office of Export Control Cooperation said the 16th International Export Control and Border Security Conference would have to be rescheduled.
I know. Border Security
They don't
conference.
Get a trip. They don't get to go away. to Scotland. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back. We're not going anywhere except for just a few short minutes for these commercials. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. A quarter ounce American Gold Eagle, a 2019, a brand new spanking coin, 2019 for the year, and a $25 face value of 90% silver. These are the 50-cent pieces, and the total on this, it includes your shipping costs, $700. That's $700 for a quarter ounce American Gold Eagle and 25 face value of 90% silver, 50-cent pieces. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. In addition to some other states, there were three bills that were presented by Wyoming legislators last week requiring the state treasurer to invest in gold and silver. Many observers say that the bills are the logical follow-up to the state's decision last summer to declare gold and silver as legal tender. That's just what the Constitution demands in Article 1, Section 10. No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. So if this is signed into law, the three bills would direct the state treasurer to invest 10% of the funds held in the state's pension fund, its reserve fund, and its mineral trust fund in gold and silver. Now, each bill has 15 or more co-sponsors, and they are being sold to other legislators as a necessary counterbalance to those funds' traditional holdings of government bills, notes, bonds, and other investments.
Fascinating, Melody. I mean, apparently it's been persuasive thus far, as those funds that Melody just mentioned have suffered paper losses of more than $200 million, thanks largely to investments in foreign securities. The Wyoming bills would also reinforce the state's decision last summer to allow its residents to use gold and silver alongside Federal Reserve notes, i.e. dollar bills, in daily transactions and eliminate any taxes on those transfers. You know, that bill received overwhelming support in both the Wyoming House and Senate, and the bills presented last week are expected to get similar support. Now, over time, the fact that coins hold their value more than Federal Reserve notes, will lead to a scenario, they hope, where good money, i.e. gold and silver coins, will drive out the bad, i.e. the dollar bills. And as that happens, a cascade of events can begin to occur, including the flow of real wealth towards the state treasury, an influx of banking business from outside of the state, and, perhaps most significantly for the long term, an eventual outcry against the use of the dollar bill, the Federal Reserve notes, for any transactions.
Well, this would hopefully help to expose the fraud of paper and digital money. We all know Federal Chair Alan Greenspan, he knew about this as he was creating it. His 1966 article, Gold and Economic Freedom, in the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holdings illegal, as was done in the case of gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme, ladies and gentlemen, for the confiscation of wealth. Gold stands in the way of this insidious process, and it stands as a protector of property rights. So we could see Wyoming could be the first state to declare loudly that the Federal Reserve notes are not federal, not constitutional, and there are no real reserves at all. And
interesting stuff. You know, there, what's Wyoming population? About 800,000, maybe. An interesting start with places. What were you saying earlier? West Virginia.
Well, there's a couple of them states out there that are trying to, or they have legislation to back their currencies with gold, and so it's picking up a little bit it's picking up steam, ladies and gentlemen, because everybody knows where the train is headed. Everybody knows in any positions of power, in any legislative position, they know. They just don't want you to know, or you end up finding out when it's way too late. So that's what these programs are all about. So don't be late, and don't wait to see what happens. Get in front of the, you know, and that's, it just baffles me. Yes, the market looks like it's doing great, but I think anybody that has a, you know, a thought in their brain knows this is all going to come crumbling down, and you better be prepared for it. There's something else that's possibly coming down on the top of us, Dave. You said asteroids.
Good segue, Melody.
You know, I was thinking of satellites. I mean, with that 5G, which I think is very dangerous, you know, 20,000 plus satellites going up there, and things are going to be falling down on the heads of us. But we're also talking about asteroids.
Yeah, at least these satellites are small enough that they burn up upon reentry into the atmosphere. These asteroids, on the other hand, not so much. You know, if you've noticed something different happening these past 290 million years, it's not just you. The rate of asteroids striking Earth and the Moon have increased sharply from once every 3 million years to once every 1 million years. As Sergeant Phil Esterhaus used to say at the end of Roll Call on Hill Street Blues, be careful out there. You know, the rate at which asteroids are slamming into the Earth has nearly tripled since dinosaurs first roamed. That's according to a variety of scientists who recently studied the figures are based on collisions that left craters at least 6.2 miles wide. You know, the findings suggest that the dinosaurs may have been unfortunate in evolving 240 million years ago. Just the odds of being wiped out by a stray asteroid were ramping up. That was one of those impacts on top of other factors that reportedly did in the Jurassic be 66 million years ago. Now, using images from NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, the scientists studied the rockiness of debris surrounding craters on the Moon. The rocks thrown up by asteroid impacts are steadily ground down by the constant rate of micrometeorites that pours down on the Moon. This means the state of rocks around a crater can be used to date it. On Earth, there are hardly any impact craters older than 650 million years. Most likely because they were eroded when the planet became encased in ice in an event known as Snowball Earth. William Botke, who's a researcher on the team at the Southwest Research Institute in Colorado, said the uptick in asteroid strikes was probably caused by one or more giant space rocks breaking up in the main asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter about 300 million years ago. When asteroids collide, we're told, they produce a swarm of fragments that can find their way on collision courses with the Earth or our Moon. And if the initial breakup is large enough, the increase in impacts can last for hundreds of millions of years. The question now is whether the rate of asteroid strikes is still rising or perhaps falling back to a lower level. Either way, scientists who study this geological phenomenon believe there is no cause for alarm. Because large impacts are very rare in the first place, even if you double or triple the probability, they're still very rare. So, Melody, once again, we find that timing is everything. So, why don't we agree? Let's get back with each other, you know, in, say, a million years or so. See how accurate all this information was. And that, Melody, is this week's Brevity is Golden.
Kind of reminds me of Wendy's teachings today.
Yes, yes.
You know, all this money spent on all these studies, and it's like, oh, yeah, really information. You know, it's just kind of like, I don't know if you know of Planet X, but, you know, for years we've been hearing about that, you know, Planet X is ready to crash into the, is on a crash course with the Earth, and it was supposed to have crashed, I think, in 1999, 2000, 2001, I think every year someone comes out with the prediction of that one crashing into this Earth. And my point is, and if it does, what are you going to do about it, you know? Well, so, you know, you live your life with things that you can control, and what you can control is your finances, ladies and gentlemen. You can get out of debt. You can convert those paper dollars into gold and silver. And watch as these, basically, the financial, it's a systemic, and it's. I just don't think people can grasp, Dave, what can happen and what will happen. We see things like Venezuela, but it's over there. We see Zimbabwe. Well, we're not Zimbabwe. We're not Venezuela. You know, we're not Argentina. We're not the Weimar Republic, you know, and the dozens of other countries that have faced monetary crisis. And we're not Mexico. You know, you name a country, and they've all experienced a reset of their currency. Well, we're going to have the mother of all. The bubble of all, the mother of all currency resets. And I think everybody knows it's beginning this year. So here's something interesting, Dave. Uber and Lyft, they are still crushing transit across the U.S. This was according to a new study examining the effects in 22 cities. And when these two companies enter a city, they decrease rail ridership by 1.29% per year and decreases bus ridership by 1.7%. Now, this was done by three University of Kentucky researchers. So it's three researchers at the University of Kentucky. So and they estimate that Uber and Lyft, for example, have reduced bus ridership in San Francisco 12.7% only since they entered the market in 2010. And, of course, this isn't the first study to find these types of findings. These declines could not be explained by service reductions or by maintenance issues, although those who, I don't know, I mean, it's pretty cheap to pick up an Uber. I've never been on a Lyft, but I would rather ride in an Uber than a bus. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out.
Yeah, I think the purpose, in my estimation, was to show the effect of Uber and Lyft on mass transit, which some people anyway assume has led to cleaner air or less polluted air and less crowded streets, other things being equal. So, you know, I think that's where that study was going. I was also interested in a similar, in a sense, story with a different twist. Tokyo's crowded metro system, its subway system, is trying to ease the morning commute. Listen to this. With soba noodles and tempura. The subway system is offering vouchers for buckwheat noodles and fried snacks to commuters who get on the train before rush hour. So far, more than 8,000 people have signed up to beat the clock. You know, the Metro said it would hand out vouchers for tempura if 2,000 people signed up, soba noodles if 2,500 people rolled, and both if more than 3,000 passengers registered. So they're off and running. Getting noodles, though, may be easier than finding a seat.
Yes, that is interesting. And they're kind of fun to ride, but I'll have to ask James Corbett about that this evening. But here's an interesting, and we're just about out of time. The Trump administration is hoping to capitalize on popular outrage in Venezuela. They're trying to loosen Maduro's grip on power, the current president. And there was a lot of senators like Mark Rubio, Rick Scott, DeSantis. They were all at the White House with John Bolton and the president and the vice president yesterday just to discuss Venezuela. And I guess they are just kind of ignoring Maduro. Did they actually have a vote, Dave? Or is this guy just stepping in?
Who, you mean Maduro? Or
yeah, what? No, Maduro. I mean, there was another leader that I saw.
Oh, yeah. No,
was there an actual vote?
Yeah, there was an election, much as it was, although, you know, the consensus among, you know, most people who followed it in our country is that it was a sham. That it was a setup by Maduro and his supporters, that literally millions of votes were not counted or thrown out. So now, you know, we're technically thinking that the head of Venezuela's National Assembly is the real legitimate president, not Maduro.
Hey, that's the way you change regimes. Regime change at work. Just ignore the current president. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. Financial survival. Thank you. Be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. I got me a wealthy man.